So this weekend is the celebration of Labor Day. I've come to learn from the days of my youth that Labor Day is more than the last holiday of summer. Labor Day is more than the long weekend before you went back to school. It was always after Labor Day. Labor Day began in some cities as a municipal ordinance as early as 1885, recognizing the labor of the workers. In the next several years, it was adopted by 23 states. And finally, then in 1894, received national recognition by Congress and established as a holiday. Labor Day recognizes the achievements of the worker, the strength and the spirit of trade and of labor. No longer would the workforce just be anonymous, but we are to respect the role of the individual worker. Contributions of the labor force led to the highest standard of living and the greatest production the world has ever known. Industrial fortunes were built on the backs of laborers and workers. The question it is posed to ask anyone who is to say that they got rich through hard work is to then ask whose hard work was it? For often it was the work of the laborer and the worker. Martin Luther, my old friend, he recognized the contributions of the worker and of the laborer. Just like any other form of employment or profession, he saw it as a calling, of value, and of respect. That we are to value all persons equally. Not just what they do, but the person. Value the importance of each and every worker. In our society, we tend to value some professions maybe more than others and to stress them more. Some years ago, I remember a member of our congregation whose son who had just kind of reached college age, and so he's trying to work with his son as far as guiding him and leading him into a future career path. So one of the things that he did with his son was took him to meet with professionals. And he chose engineers and lawyers and others such as those. This made me think a little bit about that. Because I knew the son a little bit, and I wondered about what his inclinations were and what his desires were and even his abilities. And I don't really believe that that type of profession was what he wanted. And so then throughout the process, I kind of wondered. I wonder if the son felt that if he did not follow the path valued by his father would value him less. And if he struggled with that thought. We read about Jesus crossing the boundaries, recognizing the individual outside the lines that had been drawn by his tradition. We are told that he goes to the Gentile regions of Tyre, then all the way across the country to the Decapolis. And Jesus is challenging the regulations and the formulas of his tradition, challenging the understandings of what is clean and unclean. The rules that were established, that were said to impact a person standing with God. Jesus is especially challenging the part of the traditions and the part of the religion that focused on ordinances and regulations and standards. What we see in the journeys of Jesus is to present to a world, to present God to a world that is searching, to present God to a world that is hurting, to present God to a world that is struggling. Jesus went directly to those who were marginalized, those who were considered to live on the fringes, those who were thought to be outcasts. And we read about then how he is approached by a Syrophoenician woman. Speaking of work, I read recently where it said, a woman's work is never done. All you ladies are nodding your heads, obviously, of course. But it went on to say, especially those tasks that the husband is asked to do. And here we have a woman who takes it upon herself to seek out Jesus. Jesus, who had gone to a place and he said to his disciples to be quiet about it. But the word got out and she came to him. And she begged of him to cast out a demon holding her daughter bondage, an unclean spirit that would put her daughter on the outsides of community and society. And so then Jesus enters into a bantering conversation with this woman, this Gentile. And he says to her that the children are to be fed first. The food is not to be thrown to the dogs. Now the word that he uses here for dogs is an affectionate term. It's that which is used to describe a lap dog, you know, the cherished family pet, you know, the real, real cute ones. That is what Jesus speaks. And the woman gets into the back and forth and she says, well, even the children get to eat of the crumbs. She picks up from Jesus that he doesn't say that there's no food available, but there is. And so she bows before him and says that she would accept whatever he had to offer. And the healing takes place. Through this interaction with Jesus and through the relationship that has been established, through this personal one-on-one, there is healing. Jesus goes on in his travels, and there is the encounter with a man who is deaf. And it says they begged of him. They. Doesn't say who. It's not important. Because Jesus will listen to all people. They begged of him to lay his hands on him. And we have this wonderful scene, and you can picture in your mind, where Jesus took him aside in private. Takes the man aside to where it is quiet and where it is just the two of them. Focuses his attention solely on him. Sees the man as an individual. Recognizes him as a single person of value. And then his ears are opened. Jesus establishes personal relationships. And with them, he establishes that each person holds great value. And this is a departure from the realm of the religion of which he is a part, that is full of rules and formulas that one is to follow. It is a departure from the realm of religion and entering into the realm of relationship. Jesus establishes relationships in order to help. Help with those with physical struggles, mental and emotional challenges. Enters into relationships to help those who are fighting their thoughts and their feelings. Enters into relationships to help with those who are searching their hearts. Jesus in His travels establishes relationships because it would be tragic to know about God but not God. And we have to ask ourselves then what this relationship with God means. What does it mean to us? And so we gather today, as we do each week, and we celebrate Holy Communion. Holy Communion, which is more than just something we practice, is more than just a ritual, more than just a tradition, more than just something we do. It is much more. Holy Communion is about relationship. We celebrate the covenant promises that God has made with each one of us. It is not the ritual, but the relationship that heals, that provides strength and support for us in life. We come together and we celebrate Holy Communion and recognizing how it is for each and every individual. It is personal. It is for you. It is for you. And we recognize that each and every person has value, and there is a place at the table for everyone. Through the interactions that Jesus has with the people throughout the country, we recognize then that He puts a face on each individual. He recognizes the value of each person. And so we ask ourselves what our relationship with God means. And just as our relationship with God, we too then, as Jesus did, are to welcome people, to provide for them support and strength and refuge and safe haven. To recognize that people come who need Jesus. People come who need that relationship. People come to know Jesus. Amen.